Welcome to another episode of The Shift with Elaine Agar. In this episode, I chat with Chris Ward. She is a business coach, but really she comes to you from a side of kind of optimizing your business, so being more efficient. And we talk a lot about that, you know, you don't need necessarily to have time management, maybe you just need energy management. And maybe when it comes to optimizing your business and the way that you work, maybe it's just around really trying to figure out what is it that you can delegate. How can you let go of certain things, right? So whether you're a starting entrepreneur or somebody who's been in the business is like, hey, like I'm ready to let go, right? And I think that a lot of that is applicable in just somebody who's working in a corporate world. So she brings up a lot of different really useful examples and just practical tips that I think will be beneficial for just about anybody, because I think we all could do better in how we manage our energy, how we spend our days, and just where do we put our energy. So enjoy the conversation. Chris, welcome to the Shift podcast.
Oh, I'm pumped to be here.
First of all, I love the yellow, and I cannot, you know, there's no other better place to start this conversation than from this concept of win the day. And, how tell me how you came about writing this book, first of all, like what prompted you to do this, and tell me a little bit about the concept.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I started out my business as, working in marketing and focusing on marketing messaging. Oh my gosh, over 14 years ago. And the first couple of years I was in business, I worked insane hours, right? And my husband said I was always trying to steal from sleep, getting up earlier and staying later and later. And I was told about the 2-year mark that I was losing some of my charm. And I thought that cannot be. Here's the people cheering me on and supporting my new business and all this stuff. So I literally went from working 16 hours a day down to 6. Now that did not happen overnight, Elena. That's a story in itself, but luckily I did, because it was a couple of years after that my husband had been diagnosed with colon cancer, and I was pulled away from the business for about 2 years. When I returned after his passing, my existing clients had no idea of my absence. It was not how we navigated his journey. We were very positive in nature. And so people were shocked. The local business community didn't know. My clients didn't know. And so they started to approach me and say, hey, you know, if you could do that and we didn't know, maybe you could help me get to my kids' soccer games. Maybe I could start, you know, not be in every evening and weekend just trying to get caught up. And so I started working with them under that capacity. And I started to realize really quickly that a lot of the people I worked with, they had been in business at least 5 years. They looked good on paper. They may have a podcast or book or launched products, but they're still working way too many hours for where they were at this point in their journey. And so how do I reach those people that look so great online, but are struggling in isolation because they're still thinking once they get past this next thing, well, once I get this out, then it'll be different. And so that's where the book started. And then everything, the Winner's Circle and everything else came after that.
You mentioned an interesting point, because you said, you know, there are people that are working way too much at the yeah. stage that they're in. And so that's a question I battle with, because it's like, and I'm in tech talent. So I work with young talent. And so what I struggle with the most is, you know, and I'm curious to hear your opinion, is when is that right time when you're like, okay, at this stage, I shouldn't be working this much? Is there always like this, you know, a time frame, whether you are starting a business or whether you're starting a career, that you're just kind of grinding, and you do have to work those 12, 14, 16 hour days. But at what point, I guess, you know, or do you just start with that 6 hour, right? But you, even for you, you said first it was like 16 hour days and then you cut back. So is it something that we get to, or is it the grind? You can't get away from the grind.
That's a really fantastic question. So I would argue that really you don't need the grind. And that if you listen to anyone who has made any success in their business, any turning point, anyone from, you know, Jeff Bezos on down with Amazon, anyone, what happened was they started a different strategy. They weren't grinding it out. They built their team. They had systems and things in play. And so really the grind is actually an ill-planned journey. It's a hero's journey, but it's ill-planned, and it makes for a more interesting story. So I would say I was working against myself those first 2 years. So often you think that, oh, once those first two years are happening in business, oh my gosh, you know what? I have to get this up and the website and all these things. And you think that there's all this first off, one-time off things that you have to overcome. And that once you're in business 5 years, things will be different. But the whole concept of business is to be busy and to have more things to do. And there will never be a lack of creation. You know, when I wrote my book, When the Hour, When the Day, I was like, listen, when this book is done, there will be a parade in my honor. My life will be different, you know, because it's like, oh, I got the book done. Okay, great. Well, now I need more time to promote the book and go on podcasts, you know, and I, oh my gosh, guess what? I need a podcast of my own. So there's always the next thing. So I would tell you in hindsight, honestly, those years I was grinding it out, I was absolutely 100% working against myself. I was less productive. I was less efficient. I was recycling work. I was doing a whole bunch of things that were not serving me. So it really is a turning point. So I would argue if you're lucky and blessed, then you understand really quickly, really early, that you being fatigued and pushing through does not bring best results to anybody.
And I'm curious, for how long did it take you? Like, was it a matter of weeks or months until you're like, okay, this is, I can't keep going like this. Like, and what are some things that you implemented that might help somebody who's listening? Because I feel like when you are starting off, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So you get into this circle and this like hole of overworking and just, you know, running. And then you almost created this new lifestyle, and then you have to let go of that. It feels scary. And you know what I mean? So especially if you're building a business, because you're like, well, I feel like I can't say no. So what are some things that helped you, and how long did it take?
You bring up some really salient points. So that's the thing. And I work with a lot of my clients in the Winner's Circle. And when we take them from these, I mean, they all tell me they get 25 hours back a week within the first month of working with us. And when they go, you know, cut all those hours down, they're so conditioned to, oh my gosh, if I'm not going full speed, crazy long hours, it feels like I'm working part-time or like I'm just not trying hard enough. So we have, yeah.
Oh, I feel.
So we, that's how we've been conditioned, right? And so what I would say to you is that we focus on three things. We focus on team, time, and toolkits. So starting with the first thing, I would say a quick overview on each, because I could talk about, oh my gosh, each one for weeks. But the time, so many of us are just running around with a to-do list. They don't work. They add stress. They're a list of percolating emergencies. And what happens is 90% of people don't know how to use their calendar effectively. And so you have appointments, outside forces like, oh, you have to go to the dentist, or you have to, you know, you're going to hop on this interview here. But then the rest of the day has gaps in it. You just shove a whole bunch of things in there that you try to get done on your to-do list. And that is so many flaws in it. What I would say for starters is, lots of times I hear clients in the beginning say, well, I do that every day. I don't have to put it on my calendar. Well, your calendar is not a memo board. It's really your time bank account. So what I would argue is, listen, if you said to me, Elena, oh my gosh, my car payment comes out every month, but I know that, don't worry about it, I don't have to count that. Well, the money's still gone. So what happens is so many people think that they're falling into their workday with 8 hours, but they mainly have five, because a lot of the work is not put on the calendar. So that's just one basic fundamental. Then the other thing I would say so much is creating a team. And then when I talk about teams, that could be one VA. I'm all about very lean teams, but it's really a modality, a mindset, approach to leadership than it is the volume or having a general VA. So that's a whole thing we can dive into. And then the third and equally powerful is really what we call your super toolkits. Traditionally, we've come, all of us at one point or another, we had a job in the corporate world, and we had these systems and policies and procedures that were very dry, and they were written not by the end user. They were static in nature, and they're mostly there to cover liability. So most people say, oh my gosh, when I start my job, my new business, you don't understand, I need to be creative. I need this. I can't have something binding me, because they're thinking of those corporate systems and processes, where we have these super toolkits that are breathing document, and they constantly allow you to compress time so that you can move on to the next ambition.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think that it's a lot of mindset things, I would imagine, right? Of just like that letting go, that, you know, a lot of people are busy, but are they actually productive? And I've worked with kind of different generations, but I see this a lot in a lot of the young people, like the Gen Zs that I work with, is that they're also so much more distracted. And because they grew up in a very distracted era, so to say, so it's almost like they know how to disconnect less. Have you seen that in the work of clients that you've done? Like, do you have Are you working more with like generations that are millennials or maybe Gen X's, or have you seen a difference between, I guess, the transition time of a younger person versus an older person when it comes to getting their stuff together?
Yeah, I don't see anything based on age myself. And I guess I want to go back and pick up what you said about mindset. So to me, I do think mindset, it helps in so many things, but where I kind of slow down the pushing the gas on mindset is so many people come to this thinking, you know, I hear people all the time, they'll say, oh my gosh, I just need to be more disciplined. Or, you know, they put these character flaws in place that they think they're the problem. And I would say you don't need to be more disciplined. You don't need to be more organized. Discipline actually erodes the battery, and that when you're white knuckling it and trying to be disciplined, it fatigues your brain power. And that's why diets don't work. That's a whole story, but I can bore you with studies and everything. And then what happens is, you know, there's discipline. Then people say, oh, I should be more organized. I'm like, listen, I'm an organized person. And that hurt me for a number of years because I just kept reorganizing things, right? So it's really not about character flaws. And if you think it is for a second, we've got this fantastic quiz that after working with hundreds of entrepreneurs, I found that they fell into one of five categories. So check our quiz. It takes like 30 seconds.
The personality quiz, right?
Yes, the power personality. Yes. Are you a rushaholic? Like I am a recovering rushaholic. Are you, you know, do you have focusitis? You know, are you a self-entrepreneur? All those things. So what I would say is it's really not about mindset, but that we have been trained to personalize our character flaws. And I would argue, even if you have these perceived character flaws, then the right strategy and system will support your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. So if you know, if you do have these flaws where you are easily distracted, that's fine. I've worked with clients like that. Then we have a setup that customizes and leans into their strengths and minimizes their weaknesses. So I think part of it is this concept. And I know I battled this for a long time. I thought being a multitasker, speed, all those things, I thought they were my superpower. And I had no idea how I was just skimming over things, not getting traction, just sort of always like going fast and juggling things. Okay, I got this enough for now kind of deal. But there's no real traction, or you don't leverage your business or scale. So more than mindset, I think it's a lot of misinformation about grinding it out is a noble act.
Yeah, I mean, I as you're talking, I'm kind of reflecting on my own, and I'm in that awareness stage. So I'm that grinder person, and I'm in that awareness stage right now, and I actually made a conscious decision to do less the whole month of November and December. And by less, I mean, I do, I mean, my audience know I do at least three to four different jobs on a regular basis. And so I'm just letting go of some things and just like doing less of non-essential things. But anyway, and my friends are like, are you okay? Like, are you able to actually do less? You know? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, so it's like a challenge, and it's hard, but awareness is step one. But I agree. I think that mindset probably has less to do with it than maybe just creating auditing the efforts that are being put forward. And are you actually gaining traction from those efforts? And then also maybe creating systems that might work. So that's what it sounds like to me. Like maybe if one just creates a system that brings that traction, maybe it's not about the discipline, the mindset, it's just following a process or system.
Yeah. So again, when you say the word system, it sounds heavy and restrictive and why you left a job. So when we do the super toolkits, it's a complete different game changer. It is a system, but it's one that really people quite enjoy and really gives them so much freedom and allows them to constantly get to their next ambition. I believe it's on our website. We had a client, Christine, and when she came to work with us, I want to tap into, and you say doing less. I would push back and say, you actually can do way more. You just can do it with less energy and bigger results. So when Christine came to work with us, you know, I hate to say this out loud because it's not okay, but sometimes when people ask to meet with me and it's, oh, she was a referral, she's like, listen, I really need your help. And she missed the first appointment. And that happens because they need me. They're in chaos. They're, you know, it's like their calendar is a hot mess. That's fine. Okay. I'm not saying it's okay, but it happens. So the second appointment she missed, and I was like, all right, who's the fool? I'm not showing up for a third one. Now she begged me, please meet with me. I promise. I'm like, oh my gosh. But she was a referral and I knew the person that sent her to me. And I was like, all right, okay. So when I met with her, one of her concerns was she was dealing with companies that were like $5 million and she was helping them get their ducks in a row so that they could sell. These are bigger corporations ready to sell. So she said, Chris, I kind of help them with their systems and processes. So I don't understand how you could help me. But again, we're looking at the archaic mindset of the whole corporate thing and whatever. And our super toolkits are very different. So cut to, we worked with her and of course she got the 25 hours back a week. And she said she used to be on medication to help her sleep at night and her adrenaline, all these other things, you know, and within a year, like she had many successes within 3 or 4 or 5 months, whatever. But within a year, she was on a trip to Costa Rica, gone for a month with somebody that we found for her, hired, trained, and on board for $5-6 US an hour. And that VA maintained and supervised her business while she traveled without internet connection. So, and here's the real kicker. Here's the most important part of that story. She would tell you that her income quadrupled, 4 times what she was doing before. And yet her hours were cut like down to 1/5. She used to work evenings, weekends, all these crazy hours. Not only was she not doing that anymore, now she's traveling for a month at a time. So again, we are still buying into the whole trading time for money. Like, okay, I'm going to do less for November. I would say, well, how about if you got more results for November and you worked less? That's a different ratio.
That's a good point. Now, I didn't think about it from that perspective, but that's an interesting point. So I imagine, you know, somebody who has, you know, a certain level of achievements that you have and that success, I'm sure that that requires you to also stay innovative and agile and continuing learning. So how that has played a role in your business and in your own just growth?
Yeah. So again, I would lean back to our win team and to our super toolkit. So, you know, when ChatGPT hit the world and everybody's just scurrying and reacting, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But then, okay, it's maybe not that amazing because it's kind of generic. Well, you know, the way our team is set up is that they always have to also find time. We always have to have more bandwidth moving forward on the calendar. So that's not just for me, that's for the team. So more on our team, she was like, okay, this is a new thing. So then her super toolkits allowed her to move forward and play around with ChatGPT. And oh my gosh, if she didn't engineer the heck out of that, we get so much more. Oh, we get so much out of chat that none of my competitors or the average person is getting, but that's because she leaned into it and used our super toolkits to say, okay, how can we leverage our success, learn as we, because you always want to start right off. How can we learn really quickly and scale the results on this new innovation? And she does a fantastic job of that. So now we have all of us, it's all set up so that we go in, it's like really amazing, customized, powerful results that surpasses anyone I know, because our formula for using a super toolkit and our concept of leadership in the win team really was the engine to getting the juice out of ChatGPT that others aren't. So innovation is one thing, but you have to have the time, the bandwidth, the skill set, and really in our case, the super toolkits to leverage that really quickly.
I'm curious also how, so my audience knows I'm huge into physical activity and the impact it has on just productivity, awareness, critical thinking, creativity, you name it. So how important it is, and maybe you've seen, maybe some case studies where you've seen, this is something I'm studying right now, like as for myself, is like to understand the tie between success one has in career, long-term success and quality success, like right when they're not stressed out. So people might be making a lot of money, but they might be super stressed out, their health is failing, et cetera. So, and I'm looking at like, what are the tangible evidence to say, okay, well, if you're healthy physically, particularly, right, because then that adds to the mental health, the everything else, that you're likely to be more successful in your career and go further or your business. So do you kind of incorporate any of that in your work, or have you seen the impact of it even in your life?
Oh, I believe in that so incredibly very much. So what I would say is you pay now, you pay later, right? So I know for the first time, the only time in my life that I wasn't exercising was when I started working all those crazy hours, and you know, one thing led to a next, and it was like, oh my gosh, I stayed up late, I got up early, you know, I didn't work out today, and all of a sudden it had been 6 months since I hadn't worked out. And then, you know, when you're going on the fly and you're shoving food down your throat while you're answering emails, it's never a salad. Okay. I'm just here to tell you, right? So, Anyhow, so, you know, my health took, I just looked lumpy. And then I start like, oh, it's just everything. And then you don't feel good in your clothes. And that affects how you show up, how you present. Your mind's not as clear. So I found for me, I don't know why, I don't know if all entrepreneurs do this, but I find historically a lot of entrepreneurs had a background in, you know, some kind of sport, or they were athlete in high school or whatever. And that kind of just fell to the wayside with the demands of their schedule. So I do find that's a complaint from a lot of my clients in the winner circles. Oh my gosh, I used to take care of myself and now I don't know how I look and I don't feel good. And half the time I've got what I call a tired hangover. So I believe vitality is everything. And if nothing else, how you carry yourself when you have to do a video like this or be in front of the room. But I'm all about that. I work out every morning. I'm so deep into that. And then a couple nights a week, I go rock climbing. You know, I bike on the weekend. So I think, hey, healthy body, healthy brain. And it just, oh my gosh, what's the name of the book? I forget. I'll text you later when I remember, but yeah. He was talking about how more than anything, even if it wasn't fitness and vitality, the amount that fitness helps your brain, even if it did nothing else for the rest of your body, how it impacts your brain is enough.
Yeah. I think you might be talking about Dr. Peter Attia. He talks a lot about that. Is that no?
If, no, that's not him. It's a simple one name book, but we won't distract while I try to remember it.
That's okay. It's just interesting because I feel that, and you see this quite a bit in the corporate world as well. And it's like, if I always say like, go back to basics, right? And I think that there's a lot of power in those basics, which is how well we sleep, how much we move, what we eat, the people that we have around us. And I think a lot of people forget that, and you know, go the easy route, the magic pill route, right? So, and it just has so much impact. So I just wanted to see from your experience as an entrepreneur. But I'm also curious, you have a podcast, of course, Win the Hour, Win the Day. And you talked a lot of, you know, you talk about a lot of different business topics. Are there some key takeaways or recurring themes that listeners can apply to their own journeys towards that personal and professional growth that you have collected over the years? And you're like, that's a theme that's across board, no matter who you are, where you're from, whether you're in a corporate, whether you're in a business, no matter how old you are. That's the theme that you see from people and some.
Yeah. So you're right, Elena, our podcast, Win the Hour, Win the Day, is just general. It could be anything from sales to social media. It's not at all what we're talking about here because, you know, it's not the focus on what I do. I just wanted to meet really interesting people. And also so often for what I do, people think it's like productivity or it's like going faster or being more organized. And so to be totally honest, it's just not where I thought I would have my audience. They're like, oh yeah, I know I have to try harder. I have to be more disciplined. I don't need to listen to her podcast on how to get more stuff done. So I just felt there would be no audience there. So we're really lucky that we meet a real great cross section of people. We've had some fascinating people like, in the US, Kevin Harrington, original shark from Shark Tank, James Malachek, ABC Secret Millionaire, co-author Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a whole bunch of really amazing guests. And in those, you know, whether it's an entrepreneur like myself or somebody else, you know, we meet on LinkedIn, whatever, I again see the success comes when they know how to have a team with leadership, with the basic components of what we call a win team, a what is next team, so you can get to what is next. And then when they are leveraging their time and not using brute force and trading time for money. So all those people, whether they're expert in sales or social media or what have you, the ones that fit well into the show and really are achieving, getting their ideas to execution. I mean, that's why you started a business, to get your ideas to execution. And the same thing if you're in the corporate world, what makes you different than another manager at C-level or whatever? It's, oh, I'm able to execute quickly. When I have an idea, the team, we do this quickly. And that's leveraging your time and not grunting it out and pushing through. So those principles of being able to scale any project, any ambition really effectively comes into having a framework that you can use on this thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that's the fundamentals of leadership and, you know, a really effective systems and processes like our super toolkit.
So you've done quite a bit so far, right? And you know, you're running a successful business. You have the book, you have the podcast. What are some things you're excited most for the next 6 to 12 months?
Oh, well, I've always loved meeting people like you. I get really excited about getting a wider reach because I'm so passionate that your business should support life, not consume it. And that, you know, business should be fun. And whether, you know, business and even a career, like you didn't go to all that school. You didn't do all this extra work just to be grinding it out. You did that when you had to get yourself through school, you know, when I'm working at McDonald's or working as a waitress or whatever. So, you know, I think it's just so important for people. It's so rewarding to me when I work with people and they're like, oh my gosh, I've fallen back in love with what I do. I love seeing the results. I'm not trading my health or my time or my family's time, you know, for this next thing. And it's just so, it should be fun. The time is now, life is now. And, you know, I told you that story about my journey in the beginning. Like, you know, everybody says that, like nobody lays around their hospital bed saying, oh my gosh, I wish I'd worked more. And I lived that firsthand. And the luckiness of what I had set up was I could spend time with my husband. I was, you know, and I had a business to come back to. Had I come back and, you know, it just wasn't there because the systems and processes, the super toolkits didn't keep it alive. Take all the emotion out of that story. I lost an income. And that would have not been the time for me to try to whip up a resume, you know, be charming in an interview and learn a new job. So, you know, as far as the entrepreneur goes, life has interruptions. When people try to bestow sadness upon my story, I would say, listen, that was my thing right now. Everybody has something, and there's interruptions, and there's interruptions in your career. And so you better have things in play that allow you to constantly, consistently, and effectively move forward.
I love that. It's like being proactive about what might come your way. And I feel that as a society, we're so reactive versus proactive. And I think that's a really great message. That's just proactivity, right? Like, you know, hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst mentality, basically. I mean, because you never know, life happens. And it's that, and, you know, roller coaster, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. It rarely goes smoothly, at least in my experience and the people that I've spoken to. So it's like, prepare for the roller coaster.
Yeah, but I would argue too, I mean, I don't know why I always have this vision in my head of like an 18th century somebody in Italy going up the cobblestones and they've got an apple cart. And for most entrepreneurs, it's like, oh my gosh, the apple cart tumbles over and the apples go everywhere and we're in chaos and we're scared. And how do you crawl around and get the apples and put them back in the cart and the bumps and bruises on us? But really what your business should be like, as our clients say in the winner's circle, is you might be bumping along and hit something in the road and an apple falls off. And then you reach over and you put it back on and you continue. And that's it. You know, no chaos, no crisis, no reaction. There's always going to be something. I mean, we had someone on our team when the lockdowns were wrapping up and she was in the Philippines and she had applied 2 or 3 years earlier. She'd been with us for like 2.5 years. Previous to that, she applied to go to school in Canada. Well, we found out after all the lockdowns are starting to lift that all of a sudden out of nowhere, she was given 2 weeks notice that she now gets to be approved as an international student. Her sister is in Canada. She's moving. This is it. Now, first of all, she was like, how can I keep my job while I'm there? Because she loved working with us, as they often do. We have a 90% retention rate for my clients in the Winner's Circle. These people do not want to move on because it's such a joy to work in these environments. But I'm like, okay, we need to hire someone 2 weeks before Christmas. So I find Maura through our 12-point hiring process. And you know what? January 5th, I met with Maura. She had been given all the super toolkits from Kaizel. She was up to 80% capacity. So during Christmas holidays, I had to find, hire, onboard somebody and then teach them a new job. I met with her twice. The super toolkits took care of it. It was no biggie. So things happen for sure, but it doesn't need to be, you know, everything. It just doesn't need to be more hard work.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think it's, again, it's just, you know, having access to this kind of resources and tools. So to that point, where can people find you? Where can they get in touch with you? Where do you hang out at the most online, I guess?
Yeah, well, first of all, tell me that you heard me on this fantastic show and we'll become fast friends. And yeah, I'm like yourself. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. That's a great place to connect with me. So I'm on all the socials, but for sure, start with LinkedIn or check out Free Gift, Free, FreeGift. Gift from chris.com. We have some really neat things there. I do encourage you to take the quiz. People tell me all the time it like gets in their head and really empowers them. But we also have a free gift for your listeners, Elena, and that's a free audio version of the book. So we won't be keeping that there long. So I would grab that. And yeah, and we'll have all kinds of fun.
Sounds good. And I'll make sure to share all of that in the show notes in case somebody's driving. I can't write it down right now. The last question I have for all my guests is, what is one question you wish people would ask themselves more often?
Yeah, I think the one question people should ask themselves more often is, oh my gosh, is more time, I guess I'm going to do that wrong. Is more time going to be the answer? Everyone thinks they need more time. It's not they need more time. Do I need more time or do I need more results? That's what it is. You need results. You don't need more time. And I also talk a lot, and I'm sorry, I'm not giving you a short answer, but I'll make it quick, is it's really about energy management, not time management. You know, how you set yourself up to get the most effective results in the day so that you can still be clear-headed, creative, and, you know, full of energy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon instead of depleting results. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm sure you've done this, Elena, where you're, oh my gosh, I can't do that now. I just got to do something easier. It's 3 o'clock. My brain is fatiguing. Well, that's just because you haven't been set up effectively with some strategies in your calendar to manage your energy. You're wasting time. So is this really about more time or am I looking for more results?
I love that. In this case, I do wish I had more time with you, but we will save it for another conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights. And I look forward to hopefully hosting you again in the future.
I would appreciate it. I'd enjoy that. Thank you.